Okay, we're back. We started running out of time in the previous episode. We have more. I mean, we just got to the Illuminati. This is like, I don't know that there's been a Marvel movie that has had people split like this. Everybody I've talked to, like all the people I normally talk to about Marvel movies, I've had some people saying this is their favorite one ever. I've had some people saying that they are done with the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Whoa. It is
wild. It's thrown people every which way. We left off talking about the Illuminati. I think the main function of that scene was just to give an outlet where Wanda could slaughter some like world-class superheroes with a flick of the wrist. Like, just dispatch the absolute strongest team. This is a team that took down Thanos.
That's my thief is the Illuminati. And maybe that whole scene, one, because of the gruesome deaths. I loved all the deaths. All
Me
of the
too.
Kills were awesome. I loved the kills.
That would, oh my
I wanted
God.
So many more. It was incredible. Like, I can't wait to, I would love more multiverse stuff just to see all these people die. Two, I know we just shit on John Krasinski so much, but I was shocked at how excited I was to see him. I was so excited to see John Krasinski. To see Mr. Fantastic, like, in this I don't know what, I was not expecting it. I was shocked at how excited I was. The theater was excited. Like, the people were pumped to see John Krasinski. Maybe not specifically John Krasinski, but Reed Richards. People were pumped about. And then Patrick Stewart coming out. I know we all knew it was coming. People were pumped. I was pumped. I was surprised how excited I was to see him. I didn't watch the Inhumans TV show. Black Bolt being there. I was like shocked how surprised I was to see him. Captain Carter was, I was still excited to see her. I was honestly surprised. I was like, I'm not going to be excited to see her. I was excited to see her. I was into all the cameos. I loved it. I thought it was great.
She was perfection. I loved her so much when she said I could do this all day, but she still said it not like Steve. Like, she said it like her. Like, yeah. Oh, John
She's
Krasinski
amazing. She's
could
a great
take
actor.
A page out of her book.
We need more Hayley Atwell in general.
Yes. Oh, she was amazing.
And you ended on a great point about Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, we left off. I was talking about how I don't know that this needed to be a multiverse movie. I don't know that it really necessarily wanted to be a multiverse movie. I think maybe it thought it was one, and then Everything Everywhere just came out of nowhere and fucking sharked it. Like, nobody could have seen that movie coming, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I have a much lower opinion of that movie than you do. I don't think it aped anything. I feel fine having these movies all exist at the same time. I'm shocked how many multiverse movies we've had that have all had, I think, pretty different takes on it. Like, I'm shocked. I think I ended like the hype pod being like, I hope this is the end of the multiverse. And honestly, I would love it if Doctor Strange 3 is just more of the multiverse. Like,
really?
Give me more. This was a taste. If it's more like random superheroes from other timelines getting murdered, then yeah, dude. Yeah, I'm here for it. I'm here for it. Give me whatever Chris Pine, whatever. I don't know. Give me any of the cameos that you were talking about, like, and just have them all killed by Doctor Strange or whatever it is. Like, I'm here for it. I think it's
killed by
I just
Doctor
thought it was
Strange.
So cool. Or Doctor Strange or Wanda or whoever. They got to fight somebody. Like,
she was the one.
Encounter these people.
Stacking bodies.
I guess you're right. She was the one stacking them up. But like, I guess I was surprised that I love the world they've created in this Doctor Strange movie. And I want to see more. And I think I agree with you that the multiverse thing, this Multiverse of Madness was like a very deceptive title. That is straight up blast. Like, they lied to us.
Yeah,
it's the most misleading title I've ever heard.
Not a lot of madness. But I am kind of confused about like the rules they're setting up for a multiverse. Like, it really confused me the scene where Doctor Strange is talking to the other version of himself and he's like, that memory of ours when we were a kid. And it's just like, that's not how multiverses work. Like, I don't understand how, and maybe I don't get multiverses, but I thought the whole point was that it's like infinite possibilities. It could be anything. So like, to bank on a shared memory of a sister, like, maybe that Doctor Strange doesn't have a sister. Like, I don't know. That kind of stumps me.
That one I thought was super interesting. I agree. It doesn't necessarily go with the multiverse rules that have been like established, but like it does remind me of like the timeline in Endgame, right? So they talk about it. We have like one continuous timeline. If we take the Infinity Stones out of that timeline, it creates a branch reality. So like him telling the story about his childhood to this other Doctor Strange is like, he confirms that. He's like, yes, we both had the same childhood. And then the evil Doctor Strange mentions that he also went to Christine's wedding. And then he mentions something else. So like I took that to mean that this evil Doctor Strange was a branch reality that our Doctor Strange could have gone on.
Okay.
So like, and like that whole world was like in chaos and it was like all imploded, which makes me think like our Doctor Strange was like one wrong turn away from being this man in this universe, and this could have been us. Now, I don't know if that necessarily tracks with like, oh, there's a universe where we're all paint. Like those seem like,
I was just gonna say, completely that. Like, where things. Does that fit in?
I'm not sure it does, but they're like multiple. It seems like multiverse can mean anything. It can either be like a tangent reality, or it's like color universe. Like at some point, because like right. If we're going off of Loki, which for some reason is like, it's shocking. Isn't it kind of weird that Loki has like nothing to do with this movie? Like,
yeah, I was going to ask about that too, because I wanted it to. I kind of was like hoping that it would, I don't know. But I figured it wouldn't based on what Kevin said about the movie. So I wasn't expecting it. But when we finished Loki, I was like, oh, this will be so cool to see Doctor Strange handle this. And then it just obviously was unrelated.
Based on Loki, there was one timeline, and anytime there was a variant, they would trim it. So by that logic, the multiverse was created right when Loki did his shit, and now there's multiple branches, and they're just not trimming branches anymore, which would mean that every multiverse is actually a branch off of the main continuity. There's no just like straight up parallel lines. At some point, they all broke off. So by that logic, if we want to get to a paint universe, something happened way, way, way in the past that this branched off from and created a paint universe. But then by that same logic, it could be something that Doctor Strange went left instead of right when he left Christine's wedding. And now the universe is like all upside down and all this stuff.
I get how it could be possible.
Yeah, I guess I'm talking it out to myself because I'm like, this is great. It's just a lot. It's so much. And like, but that has to be it, because otherwise, what was the point of Loki? Right? Like Loki explained how the multiverse happened.
I love your theory. Yeah. I didn't think of it that way, of that creating the multiverse. That's interesting. I thought that by now they were just going to be two totally different things, but I don't know. But that's the thing is like, I agree with you, like that it's a possibility. And like, I love the thought of like, Doctor Strange making a wrong turn and ending up in that really bad place. But I don't understand relying on how can I relate to him. Oh, I know. I'm going to share a memory. Like, that's the first thing to go, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that tripped me up.
It is weird.
I did ask Kevin, I feel like you had an answer for this, but I asked too about Wanda, where like she's looking at all these other universes where with the boys. And my thought was like, why couldn't she find one where she died and take over? But you had an answer for that?
Well, I think they just wanted it to work that way for the sake of this movie. That's the Rick and Morty way, right? Is in Rick and Morty, there's that thing where they turned everybody into Cronenberg monsters in the first season, and then their solution, because they can't unfuck their world, they permanently fucked it, is they just use Rick's portal gun to go to a universe where Rick and Morty, everything was completely identical up to that exact moment, and Rick and Morty happened to die at that exact moment. So they came into that universe as their other selves died and were able to basically like live in that. And they dealt with the consequences of that multiple times. Like, we saw Morty burying himself in the backyard. Like, he is very aware. He tells Summer at one point, like, hey, I'm not actually your brother. Like, I'm a different version of your brother. That's how fucked up all this stuff is. So theoretically, absolutely, there's an infinite number of worlds in which the boys lost Scarlet Witch. They do technically have a precedent in the comics where Scarlet Witch is a, I think it's a Nexus person, or she's a constant among multiverses. So I saw that being one of the reasons that, you know, maybe that's why Benedict Cumberbatch and Elizabeth Olsen play the Scarlet Witch and Doctor Strange in every movie is because they are Nexus people. They're constants. They never change, even though the rest of the universe changes. And that's why we could get, like, Peter Parker is not a Nexus person, which is why in the Spider-Verse, there's all these different spider people that look like all these different things. I think it's kind of bullshit. I don't really like that theory. I think if it really is truly going to be a multiverse, yeah, we're talking infinite possibilities.
Like Loki.
Exactly. So.
And the Scarlet Witch is, like, specifically looking for universes in which she has these kids, right?
Yeah.
So, like, maybe she just has blinders on. And that is like be. Ignoring all the other universes where she goes evil and like murders somebody. Or there's got to be an infinite number of universes where she doesn't have kids because she doesn't actually have kids in this one.
That also confuses me. And maybe I haven't fully wrapped my head around it. But like in all the other universes where she has them, are they also products of Westview specifically or...
Infinitely yes and infinitely no.
Okay, yeah.
Right?
It's like, that's part of what frustrated me about this movie is, yeah, you said we saw like three different worlds. And it's like, yeah, fucking show us a lot
of
shit. I know,
I
kind of
want to see more. That's the thing. And less paint, more like, I don't know.
My paint beef? Here we go.
Where's the beef?
If I open a door right now to a world where everybody is made of paint and I walk through that door, I don't become made of paint. I suffocate because the air is paint. I don't suddenly turn into paint because I went into paint world. Why would I turn into paint? I'm a being that is not paint. The portal doesn't turn people into paint.
But when they fall through all the multiverses, they take on some of the personas of those universes in specific universes.
And I don't think they should.
It makes me think that it's a universal rule that things are paint. You know, it's like something happened with the sun, so now everything looks like paint. There's a universe where every single person is like falling apart. It's like there's something in the atmosphere that's doing this. Like, because there were other universes they went through where they're normal and their clothes don't change. So I don't know. That's just me. I feel like I can justify this.
That's not bad.
I feel like I can come up with a justification for all of these, to be honest.
I don't hate it.
I don't know if they're all good. I don't know. But I think that was the other thing with Doctor Strange is kind of like, I told myself multiple times, like, don't try to figure this out. Don't read too much into this. Like,
yeah, that's smart.
It is what it is. You know, he's a super, I got to turn my brain off at some point, like with the magic stuff. Cause I'm kind of like, if this guy can just like the greatest magician ever, like, he can't kill a monster. You can't open up a portal to like, why can't you just instant kill this monster? Like, how are you having such a hard time? Why are you making a buzzsaw? Why can't you magic the monster away? Like, well, I'm confused why, but it's like, but then you don't have a story and then he's not a superhero. Then he's just a god who rolls in. But like, even in the Doctor Strange comics, they like, you know, they invent all these different tools that he has and he has like the same spells that he uses and like they turn him into a character, but like, I don't know. In the back of my head, I'm like, just magic this away. What are the rules, Doctor Strange? Why can you do some things, but you can't do other things? Like, why won't anybody tell me the rules? And it's like, you got to shut that down and just go by what the movie's given you. You know, he's better than the other guys. He's more creative than the other guys. There's tiers that you can tell what the tiers are. They communicate what he's capable of, what he's not capable of. They introduce like magical plot points that have stakes, even though why do those have stakes and nothing else he's done has stakes? That's cool. Why are there rules about this magic and no rules about the other magic? Whatever. Who cares? They told us the important ones. I don't know. It's weird. It's weird. He's a weird character, man. He's a weird guy. I don't know if Doctor Strange has ever particularly resonated with me because of that. You know,
I like him.
And I think it's why Iron Man and Spider-Man are still the best. I'm not saying I don't like Doctor Strange, but like he'll never be Spider-Man. He'll never be Iron Man because there's something that's not concrete about him. There's something that's like abstract. There's something that's like intangible. Iron Man is like the perfect intro Avenger because it's a guy in a suit. It's technology. He comes up with new technology, but all of his technology has limits on it. I've only got so many nanobots. My laser can only shoot once. I've only got so much battery left. Now this is dropping. Spider-Man is like, I ran out of web. I have all these limitations. Doctor Strange, it's like, cool, I forgot that spell. Like, what else, what are the limits on Doctor Strange?
Somebody stole my ring.
Yes. Yeah, the ring. The ring is like the only limit Doctor Strange has. The ring and the cloak are the two things that they're like, these are hard and fast rules. He can't fly without the cloak. He can't teleport without the ring. And they use those two all the time. But then there's all this other magic stuff where it's like, there's no other ways to teleport. I find it shocking that you can't. That's the only way they've ever come up with to fly or teleport. But I don't know. Whatever. I don't know what I'm talking about right now, guys. We're an hour into this.
Dude, I think you have a good point. I think this is something that this movie made me realize is that I think I've been taking all of this too seriously. And I think that
maybe
is,
it's the pod.
I mean, I think that is like, I think it's something that built up slowly over the course of all these MCU movies. And it's something where, you know, where we left off with Infinity War and Endgame. Very serious movies. Like the tone has become so much darker, so much more severe as these movies have gone on, to the point where it's like melodrama to a large extent. And, you know, the Spider-Man movies are usually a little bit lighter because he's in high school, but even Spider-Man No Way Home is a dark movie. Black Widow, even though they go out of their way to like remove a lot of the stuff that made her dark, it's still a movie that takes itself extremely seriously. Shang-Chi is a very fun movie, but it's got a very serious family drama at the center of it. Eternals is extremely self-serious.
Yeah.
And I think this is the first movie that made me realize, like, these are superhero movies still. Like, at the end of the day, like, Marvel, not everything Marvel is going to do is going to carry this serious tone. Maybe it's gone a little bit too far. I think Marvel's going to try to back this off a little bit. Even though I don't know that this did it in my favorite way, I think it's probably a good thing.
Yeah. Oh, I agree.
I think this, I guess this is just more proof to me that we are not getting another Endgame. There is no Infinity War. There's no Endgame on the horizon. It is not happening. That is the idea that they made, whatever, I don't remember how many movies it was, that all led up to one singular event is something that movies and television do. It's like not really what comic books do, because comic books don't end. Comic books always go on. There's like five seasons of a TV. The Office got canceled after 9 seasons. Spider-Man's done 800 comics. And you know what? When that comic ends, there's going to be another Spider-Man book. Like, we're going to keep spending time with Spider-Man. He doesn't go anywhere. So the idea that they start creating these little loops or like these little things where there's connections, and these are like, this is kind of a standalone story in a world surrounded by other stories that intersect and make sense. Like, we're thinking about Loki, we're thinking about WandaVision, all these different things. We're thinking about Spider-Man. Like, this is the future. This is what all the movies are going to be. They're all going to be like 14 minutes in. We have a bad guy that you understand their background because you've watched 6 hours of a TV show. Like, I think I'm like having such a hard time being like, oh, this Eternals thing is happening. It's not going to be that big a deal. You know, like this isn't Thanos. There is no Thanos. There's no Infinity Stones. They're not doing that. They're just doing cool stuff. And I think that's been a major adjustment for me. It's just like, there's no end game here. I don't think there is. If there is, it's so far away. It's not even worth thinking about. I mean, yeah. There's nothing. There's nothing. There's nothing coming up like that. And this is more of like what a comic book actually is. Now they're leaning into the comic book thing. This is what comic books are like. You know, we were talking about Moon Knight, the TV show. How do you prep for Moon Knight? Moon Knight has like eight book series. And somebody will be like, I want to write a Moon Knight comic. And then they write 8 comics and they're like, cool, I'm done. And then 2 years later, someone's like, you know, I'm going to write a Moon Knight comic, and then they write 8 comics, and all of them are real and all of them are valid, but they're all completely different. Some of them he's magic, some of them he's not. It's like, it's comic books are insane. Comic books make no sense. And I don't know, I guess that's where I think we're going with all this stuff.
Yeah, I think I just got to be happy with what we got still be thrilled. Still be thrilled that we had it. And I just got to prepare myself to, you know, enjoy whatever else comes down the pipe.
Oh, can I ask a specific question?
Oh, yeah.
What did you think of the music battle?
Oh, I loved music battle.
I loved the first exchange of music notes. And then after that, I was like, oh, we're still doing music notes? Yeah, you guys are really committed in the music notes, huh? Okay. And then I did like the finale with the harp. I thought that was nice. I was a little bit confused that the music notes could cut through chains but weren't penetrating his skin.
Yeah.
I don't know what the deal is with that.
Yeah.
Especially in a movie that was otherwise so gory. But yeah, I mean, I think that's a perfect encapsulation. I think it wasn't my favorite. It didn't do what I expected or wanted it to do. It didn't reach the heights that I wanted it to reach. But it was really inventive, and I liked that I saw it, and I want to see it again.
Maybe we didn't need the second pod.
Maybe we didn't. I'll listen back. We'll see. I'll cut some of this stuff into that.
Yeah, but I feel like we covered everything now. I mean, Lauren, any got any other hot takes? You ready to get out?
I have a really nitpicky gripe.
Let's do it. Get real nitpicky.
Okay. I hated the moment, and there were a few dialogue moments like this that I didn't like, but most of them I could brush off. But I could not ignore when Doctor Strange goes, Illumiwati. I hated it.
Oh my God.
Because he is a surgeon. He can say big long words that come out of medical textbooks. Like, and for him to be like stumbled on Illuminati, like, I know that wasn't the point of him doing that, but like, still, I just hated it. I don't like somebody who's really smart and can speak intelligently say something like Illuminati, or I hated that.
It's a common word.
It is, yeah.
It's been a running joke for like 200 years.
So oh that God. Really grinds my gears. I also, another gripe, just in general, I overall hated the music in this movie, and I think that was a weak spot, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, why was the, you got, I guess I don't think about music at all in a critical way. I don't think, I mean, Kevin talks about like animation and like CGI for things, and I just never think about movies that way. What was it about like the music? Because remember, you both said that like immediately. It was the music's bad. It's like, what is it about the music that's like?
It was inconsistent. Stood out. It didn't. There were moments of it that were really nice. When I liked when it was, again, this is kind of my overall thing of the movie. I liked when it leaned into the horror vibe. So I liked when the music supported like kind of a more horror movie vibe with like chills and like. But there, the score didn't seem consistent throughout. Like, I think of movies that had really good music that I really love, and Shang-Chi is one of them. That one stuck out to me because the music's so good. Black Panther, the music's so good. Like, and even like in this, I will say there was that one moment when we first see Wanda and they like chime in with the WandaVision little theme, and I loved that. Like, I like when it makes you feel something and like either excites you when you hear a character's theme, or, you know, just makes you feel like you're a part of the world. But in this movie, I found it to be really distracting, and most of the time it took me out or it was just grating. And then that like music fight scene, it took me out, because again, I felt very similar to Kevin, where it was like cool at first, and then I was kind of like, okay, this is, I get it. And it was just very gratuitous, and then the music supporting that was just like cheesy. I don't know. So overall, was not a fan. I don't know if that answered your question.
Yeah. No, I like that. While we're on the topic of nitpickiest nitpicks,
yes.
Which maybe should be a new category.
The Lauren category. It's my favorite.
I don't know if this is actually a nitpick, but this is like the most, this is my the best Easter egg reference that I found, like reading about this stuff, was on the topic of Reed Richards. They mentioned the Fantastic Four, and Doctor Strange goes, oh, that group from the 60s. And it's a reference to, in the first Doctor Strange movie, they used to play a game when he was in surgery where someone would play a song and he would like name the song and the year it was released.
Yeah.
And so when he heard the Fantastic Four, there was actually a soul group founded in 1965 called the Fantastic Four. So it's actually just a reference to his encyclopedic knowledge of music and that he knows when the group was.
That's so dope. I love that. Why the
I love
fuck
it.
Did he say Illumiwati though? you're supporting it. Like, that's amazing. That's what I want. That Illumiwati? Oh my god.
Illumiwati?
And here's the thing, though. I understand it's supposed to be kind of like a funny thing, like a quip. It's not funny enough to be, though. Like,
do you want me to justify this?
Yeah.
Oh, I love Tim's justifications.
He's trolling them.
I mean, I know he's trolling him. I know he's not taking him seriously.
I know, but he's not doing it because he doesn't understand what the Illuminati is. I think he's doing all of those just to fuck with them and to not take them seriously. So it's not, I'm too dumb to know the word Illuminati. I'm intentionally getting it wrong because I think what you're doing is stupid and I hate all of you. That's my justification. I don't know if it's good. I just pulled it out of my butt. I've been justifying stuff all day.
I think that's a good justification, but that's what I'm saying, though, where it's not good enough to be that.
It's not
like
funny
that's
enough.
A very smart thing, and like I want to see him do smart things like that, but I don't think it was executed well. Like, he should have a funnier, smarter quip than Illumiwati.
Yeah,
I totally agree.
Yeah, the character is too smart for the writers.
Yep.
Couldn't come up with anything else. Can we end on this? Everyone's favorite death in the show.
There
were so many kills.
Name?
What was your favorite kill?
It was the Echo. I'm sorry, I don't know his name. The like guy who couldn't. The Echo guy.
Blackagar Boltagon.
Yeah.
Blackagar Boltagon.
Yeah, that one, hands down. Oh my god, that was so hardcore. I loved it. Oh my god.
It was awesome. His brain exploded. Oh. What mouth?
I was so unexpected. I was like, holy, oh my god.
Kevin, you got a favorite?
I think mine, that one was incredible because obviously that one kind of set the pace for like, oh shit, we're going to do this. I was a huge fan of Evil Doctor Strange getting knocked through the window and landing on the fence. It was so like gruesome. And there was something, again, it's like that kind of a thing is so out of character with the Marvel Universe. And then to have Christine there and have her see that, and then the eye pops open and she screams, that was amazing. That was such a nice little horror movie moment.
My favorite was probably Captain Carter getting like cut in half. It just looked so cool. It was like a close up on her face. Like the way they make this like a PG-13 is so interesting to me, where it's like she's cut in half. So then you see in the background a shield with like blood on it. Like, I don't know. It's just the way they pulled that off, I thought was hit me
right
in the gut.
It was really well done. Bold,
it was crazy.
It split me.
Dude, people.
it split me for sure.
People could not fucking believe that was happening. It was great. What a great. That's the exact kind of thing that I'm talking about, where it's like this movie doesn't take itself too seriously. It's kind of trying to reset the level of drama that we see in these movies, because normally any of these introductions would be like, wow, and now we're going to see Captain Carter more probably. And just to have her get brutally murdered.
Introducing John Krasinski just so they can unravel him within like 5 minutes is amazing. I love that. I love that they introduce these characters just to gruesomely kill them off. It's so good.
It makes me think of Suicide Squad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so good. It's so satisfying. And I want to also touch on the Scarlet Witch's death. Quote unquote death. I don't think she's dead. There's no way she's dead. She's alive.
She can't be. I will not have it. Also, no. There's no way. It needs, if she were to go down, it needs to be bigger. Not
agreed.
Big enough.
But the more I've thought about it, her potentially dying through a self-induced like collapse of the building is like so perfect and like symbolic of like her journey, right? Like the origin is that, you know, she was buried under rubble for 3 days and she saw the Tony Stark bomb that didn't go off and all this stuff. And that's like a recurring nightmare for her, being like crushed and collapsing. There's so many things that have happened to her that involve like something falling on her and like it not coming out right, that the idea of her crushing herself to death in like a positive way, symbolically covered in this rubble that she's been like you know, she's basically recreated her most scarring pivotal moment in her life, is like kind of beautiful the more I thought about it. I don't think she's dead. I think they'll bring her back for sure. But the more I thought about it, I really just like that death scene too.
What's going to happen is she's going to come back and then she's going to want vengeance for her house that crumbled. Because it's like the boys.
She's going to scour the multiverse for a house that's still standing.
Intentionally for the good of everyone else. All of a sudden now she's going to want to kill everyone to get back.
Amen. And on that note, should we wrap it up?
And I'm going to love her forever.
Everybody, thank you so much for listening. Lauren, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thanks for having
me. Thanks, Lauren.
Absolutely. Guys, you know, wherever you're listening to this right now, give us a rating. 5 stars, 5 stars. Shoot us an email. And until then, stay nerdy, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.